Motherhood is hard. One second, we think we're doing a good enough job, and the next, we feel like the worst mom on the planet, which is why we need the refreshing truth of the gospel to be repeated over and over, giving us hope in the everyday moments. So, Mama, whether you're sipping cold coffee or doing a sink full of dishes, we hope you'll find truth, encouragement, and laughter here. This is the Risen Motherhood Podcast. Thanks for joining us. Well, hey guys, and welcome to another episode of Risen Motherhood. I, of course, have my sister-in-law, Emily Jensen, here with me.
Hey guys.
And let's see, today we've got a few housekeeping things. Em, what do we have?
Well, we have another free printable, which is really exciting. So hopefully you guys got our last one. But this one is, again, by Give It Pretty. And it's a quote that applies to motherhood that Laura and I have both liked for a long time by Elizabeth Elliot. So I'm going to read it to you because it's kind of a mouthful.
Buckle up.
Okay. This job has been given to me to do. Therefore, it is a gift. Therefore, it is a privilege. Therefore, it is an offering I may make to God. Therefore, it is to be done gladly if it is to be done for Him. Here, not somewhere else, I may learn God's way. In this job, not in some other, God looks for faithfulness. So anyways, it is really pretty, and we hope that you guys go download it.
Yes, definitely. Go download it and be encouraged just to remember what your job is for. And we just love those words by Elizabeth Elliot. So we hope that you are blessed by them as well.
Speaking of, we are excited to be talking about joy today.
Yes.
And on the morning that we're talking about joy, our coffee maker, after 7 years of using every day, was not working this morning. So I got my test right off the bat this morning.
Oh, no. I would seriously just, I don't know what I would do if I didn't have coffee. Do you have a French press or anything that you could make it in?
I pulled out like a not very functional espresso machine and made it
work. Oh, got out the big guns.
Yeah. I upgraded to a latte this morning, which wasn't all bad, but it's a little bit more work.
Yeah, it is. There's this thing about you needing coffee like immediately and then getting to enjoy the latte. Like I need the instant version first, and then I'll take my slow version. I get that. Oh, I'm sorry. That definitely would be something that would zap your joy. Well, so actually, let's get into that. Does it zap your joy, right?
Yeah, exactly. And that's what Laura and I really wanted to talk about this topic, because I think joy is something in motherhood that just we are all looking for, and we are all wanting, and yet it feels so elusive.
Yes.
It feels like something, I was thinking about it, it's like trying to get a hold of a 2-year-old or like an 18-month-old, and you know they're like staring and they're like looking at you and you're like creeping, you're like, I'm getting close, and you gotta reach out and then they bolt. Like, why? I don't know. I just feel like the trying to have joy in motherhood can feel like that sometimes.
Yeah, exactly. I think that too, we can feel like really guilty about feeling like we don't have that joy. And so it, you know, a lot of times for a lot of women, it's like building up motherhood is what I want. And I'll finally be so happy in motherhood once I become a mom. And then kind of the reality of it all settles in of the spilled milk and the poop and the, you know, I don't know, sleepless nights and all those things. And you're like, okay, this was not as fun as it looked like from the outside.
Yeah. And then we have a lot of like pressure, like Laura said, not only like do we look forward to motherhood, but we feel all this pressure to be doing everything right. And then it becomes just like one more thing we're failing at. At least I feel that way when I'm not having joy. It's like, okay, well, I already wasn't like meeting the 10 criteria for a supermom. Oh, and I'm not smiling through it all at the same time. And so let's just heap that guilt on too.
Exactly. And so today kind of what we want to get at is really looking at how a mom can have joy in motherhood and how that reflects your attitude day to day. And we're going to be kind of differentiating two different types of joy. One is eternal joy and the other is momentary joy. And so we just want to take a second to dissect those two and talk about the difference and how ultimately you as a mom can have that eternal joy on a daily basis.
Yeah, and I think momentary joy, which is probably something we are both and all more familiar with, is just like Laura said, the circumstantial joy. It's something that everyone can experience. It's a good thing. It's something that you can find in, you know, the laughter of your children or decorating your house or eating like a really, really great piece of chocolate cake. Or, you know, spending time with people you love, doing your hobbies. Like, I mean, there's a million things that can give us that momentary joy, but it's ultimately circumstantial, right? It's based on a thing that you experience or something people around you are doing or how you're benefiting. And it's something also that doesn't last for very long. I mean, sometimes you can have a joyful experience that maybe you're happy for like days on end or something, but usually that those circumstances eventually change. The cake is gone. And then the joy goes with it. I don't know what else you've experienced with momentary joy, Laura. But.
No, I totally agree. It's very short-lived. That's, I think, how we were talking about earlier, that elusive section of joy of just like, yeah, I'm eating this awesome ice cream and then it melts and spills on my shirt and it's not so awesome anymore or whatever.
Yeah.
And but eternal joy, on the other hand, so that is a joy that is so much deeper. And when we really grasp what it is, it's so much longer lasting. And it's taking joy in God and his promises, his word, his love, everything that he has done for us. And I like to think of it as sort of keeping, you know, one eye on the cross and one eye on redemption. And so we're kind of looking back and looking forward at his promises. And so when we have this deeper joy of just this expectation of what God will do for us and how he will redeem us. And one day our reward will be in the future. And it will be so much better than the things, these small little rewards like, you know, M&Ms and crunch bars and things like that, that we love. That joy sustains us so much further. And so it looks very different. Mm-hmm. So when a mom is trusting deeply in her Savior and being grateful in what God has done for her, that's when we're able to respond to our family so differently than if we are basing our stuff on circumstantial joy. And so that's kind of what we want to talk through today, is just how do we have that eternal joy, and you know, what does it look like when we do have it?
Yeah, because Laura and I have both experienced just trying to hope, I think, in momentary joy and having to figure out what that eternal joy looks like in our own personal situations. And as we were prepping for the show, we were both just like laughing about some experiences we've had personally of just feeling like motherhood, as Laura said, wasn't that fun. And like going, okay, how do I, you know, how can I be, do all of the joyful things that scripture talks about when I have children that are crying a lot? And I know, for me, just having so many young children, there are a lot of like really long, intense days where there are sometimes just a lot of tears and a lot of tantrums and a lot of correction and training and discipline and a lot of just fights, or, you know, and it can just feel like if I am hoping in a day going smoothly or in my children's behavior or in being able to do fun things, like, there's just no, you know,
there is no hope.
I'm in trouble, you know, and I've had a lot of people in the last like 6 months, I don't know, you know, through Risen Motherhood or blog stuff, ask me, oh, how are you having joy in the midst? And I was like, that's a good question. I should figure out the answer to that. But it's been a really good journey for me to figure out. And I think I probably do have more joy than I thought, but I just am thinking about it in new ways, which Laura and I will get into. But what about you, Laura? Have you had those experiences of trying to find
joy? Oh my goodness. Yes. You know, and I think I often look back as we were chatting through times when we, you know, we couldn't really trust in our circumstantial joy. And a big season for me that I've talked about before was just last spring, or about a year ago last spring, when I just felt like my life was completely falling apart and my daughter had colic, and there were other factors at play, to be sure. But that was a season where I just really did not enjoy my daughter. And I felt like, when am I going to find joy in her? And that's wrong thinking. And, but, you know, that's kind of what I was looking for, is I wanted that deep joy in having a newborn and, you know, being a second time mom. And it was a really hard season for me that I realized really quick that if I'm going to be dependent on my children for my joy or my circumstances or my home or, mm-hmm. You know, how my friends or anything like that, it wasn't going to happen. And that was really where for me, I was brought very, very low and realized, okay, I've got to figure out a different source of happiness or I am destined for depression. Like, you know, it was just, and that's where, God came in and I feel like in a big way and just, taught me what that eternal joy looks mm-hmm. like. And that, you know, realizing how in the midst of suffering, in the midst of really hard things, like you truly can have mm-hmm. a deeper joy that kind of is running, you know, beneath the surface, is running your engine, and allowed me to, honestly, I look back on some of those days and how busy it was and all the things that were happening and zero sleep. And I am like, okay, God totally sustained me and he gave me so much, like a supernatural power, it feels like, to just be able to respond to my children in love. And was mm-hmm. I perfect? Absolutely not. I have a lot of days that I wish I could erase from my memory that I was, you know, not behaving in the way that, I wish I did. But, when we're trusting in that everlasting joy of the promises of God and the things that he's done before us, that is a way I think that, can supersede or just overcome all of our mm-hmm. natural attitudes and desires to respond impatiently or to, you know, kind of act selfishly and things like that.
And I think what you mentioned is awesome. And one thing is funny, when you were going through that, I remember like not even necessarily knowing that you were in like such a hard place, which I think is evidence. And that's like a picture of joy, I think, because I mean, you and I are pretty close, and so, you are hoping in the Lord to some extent, and that's a great witness of, oh, hey, there's something going on there. That person is being sustained, even though they're in a hard place. And as I was also kind of thinking through this, I was just picturing like a mom, and just we are in the trenches of like a battlefield, just covered in dirt and markers and unidentified bodily fluids and everything else. Our hair is not washed and we are just really, really trying to win at all costs. And the difference is we have a war that is already won. Like, what if somebody told you in the middle of the battle, like, this already turns out in your favor, you know, this already turns out well. You know, how does that change how you're fighting? And how does that allow you to like fight from a place of rest and from a place of like ultimate, you know, I'm going to like keep going, but it almost like motivates you because you're like, oh, okay, this is going to be won. So I can keep going. And I heard this interesting story yesterday on another podcast and like a TED Talk podcast about, what is her name? Florence Chadwick. She was like a channel swimmer and she was going to swim like a channel from an island off of California to California. I don't know if some people probably heard this story.
These people are crazy. That's awesome.
It's insane. She swims for 15 hours and it's foggy. And so she's like, I can't do it anymore. She gets out of the boat. And shortly after she gets out of the boat, the fog clears and the shore was a mile off. And you know, she about dies because it's like, okay, well, if I just could have kept going. And she said, I think if I could have seen the shore, I would have kept going. And so she did it again. She said, with the shoreline in mind, and she made it. And it was just like, I think that is such a good picture of this joy of looking with our reward in mind, with eternity in mind, we can keep swimming. We can keep going. I'm not going to quote Nemo, but we can keep going.
Just keep swimming. Just keep swimming. That's Dory, right?
Like, that's a perfect mom, right? That's a mom illustration right there. I'm like, why did that
Finding Dory
stupid line pop into my
Hey, now moms, every time you have Finding Dory or Finding Nemo playing on your TV, which is probably a lot, you can think about swimming for Christ, right? I like it, Em.
Okay.
Well,
Sorry, that
and
was
I think,
long.
yes, I so now to take us from Finding Nemo to a Puritan pastor, because I was thinking about I love Richard Baxter. So I don't know if any of you guys know about that guy, but he's from the 1600s, so we're going old school. But he has this quote about I don't know, it's not specifically about joy, but basically he's saying, I'll have to find the exact quote, but basically he says, if everlasting joys were more in your thoughts, then your spiritual joys would abound more in your hearts. And so I love that quote. It's a much larger quote that like, all of it's so good. But I love that because I think what often keeps us joyless is our expectations, and that's either not expecting what God has promised for us in the future, or we're expecting what he didn't promise. And so I think those are two good ways of looking at it, of just, I love what Emily says about keeping that eternity in mind, of swimming towards that future. And that has been a huge thing for me as I have transitioned. And if I think a lot of our joylessness is a fact of unbelief and just not trusting in those promises that God is going to give us in the future, and not even fully comprehending or understanding it. I know to a level we can't understand, that future reward that we're going to get, but God promises eternal glory, rewards with him in heaven, that he will come back and all will be restored, all will be redeemed. And if we truly believe that, moms, if we truly did, like, we would have so much joy and so much hope, and we would live fearlessly. And I feel like that's something that God's just been working on me, is eradicating worry and fear. And I love just thinking about, if I can place my hope there, not in how I have to mop the floor again and vacuum upstairs and clean up puke and, do all these errands and do laundry again. But if I put my hope and joy in Jesus Christ and the coming return of my Savior, I mean, that changes everything. And I just wish that I could like bottle it up and like pour it into each of you that are listening.
Exactly. And Laura and I wanted to talk a little bit about just how to find joy, which she just got into, and what we've been talking about of like looking to our eternal reward. And also just recognizing like joy is found in the presence of the Lord. And so I think sometimes too, when we're not experiencing joy and we're having a hard time remembering what God has done for us through salvation and being grateful, and we're having a hard time thinking about his promises, we're also maybe like not in, we haven't been in his presence. And so it's really important to, as we've talked about in the quiet time episode, which you can go back and listen to, about just meeting with the Lord and praying and worshiping him and having scripture in your heart. Another thing is just like having fellowship with other believers. And I talked about praying, even singing, songs to God, and all of those things, just God's words. And another big thing, which this is hard, obedience. Obeying God's words that can produce joy in our hearts. So you can study that in scripture and find a whole bunch of other ways that you can experience joy, not only in motherhood, but just as a person. But I think that a lot of times joy isn't necessarily a passive thing. It's an active
Totally.
thing. It's something that we can have in suffering. It's something we can have in hard situations. It is available to us. But
Well, yeah, and I think true joy is way easier to see, or it's more bright when our circumstances are the worst. And so if we have that true joy, that's when it's really revealed, is when we're going through that suffering. And to build off some of those things of how to get that eternal joy, I mean, amen to everything that you said, of just biggest number one, spending time with God. We've talked about that a lot on the show. The other couple things that I was thinking about too is just being grateful and taking time to just thank God and praise him. And I know M. Valmarie Paper, Emily and I both have her prayer journal. She has a new gratitude journal out that I have not done. I don't know, Em, have you done it?
No, I haven't.
But it might be, we love her prayer journal. So I bet the gratitude journal is super good. I've been following her on Instagram and saw it there. But taking time, I mean, praying before meals, like that's a great chance, a great natural worked in reminder to thank God, or before bedtime, doing that with your kids. The other one, I felt like I had one more and now I can't remember. I don't know, people. Sorry, I had something else. But anyway, we're starting to hit our time. I know we're not allowed to say that anymore, but It's true. So we're going to wrap this up. Any last thoughts before I do?
Oh, yeah. Well, I think we were wanting to just reminder at the end, whenever you're in that moment and you're like, I really want to have more joy, before you run to the momentary things.
Like the M&Ms.
Like the M&M bag, I told Laura, because I think that joy is down there. If I just dig deep enough. Sometimes at nap time, I'm like, where's that M&M bag? I know that joy is down there. Okay, but it's going to go away. It's going to go to my hips. That's where my joy is going to be found. Okay. All right. What was the point of that? Oh, yeah. Before you go to the momentary things, just pause and think about what you're doing and just realize, like, hey, I may find some joy here momentarily. And that's okay, but yeah, it's not consistent.
Those things are good things in their right place. And so we are not hating on M&Ms. We do love M&Ms. Yeah. But like Em said, look at where you're – do a quick heart check. We love heart checks. We actually – heart checks are hard, but do them. Okay, yeah. So – oh, what else? So I'm like losing my train of thought. I feel like this has been quite the whirlwind episode. But if you are looking for show notes, head over to risenmotherhood.com. Find us on Facebook, you guys. We are doing Facebook Live and a lot, and it's been really fun and sort of petrifying. But if you can, we'll be sharing more over there. So find us on Facebook. Give us a like. Find us on Twitter. And then, of course, we just so appreciate it when you guys take time to write a review and rate us on iTunes. That is the best way to get the news out about the show, besides you maybe blasting your friends with a link as well. That would be awesome. If you have enjoyed the show, that is honestly the highest form of just being able to say, hey, you know, thanks for the show, and we want to share this with other moms to help them be more purposeful in their motherhood and intentional with their kids. So we would greatly appreciate that if you would take a few seconds to do it. So I think that is it. All right. Yeah. See you guys next time.
See you guys.